forth and forward. Take your document out. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. And then I want in the document, as we are moving through, we're into part two, page 39, at the bottom. Again, repeat after me, the capsule of time,
written this creation
exclusively in eternity. Again, the capsule of time,
written this creation
exclusively in eternity. If you do not have a document, there should be some in the bank. As we scripture-wise turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Elder Liverman is our designated reader this morning. We want to dwell and operate in realism. The problem is, there are different versions and comprehensions of what realism is. What is life? What is your life? What is the essence of life? And when we focus life in a sphere that is not real, it ultimately leads to our frustration. In our conference, our theme scripture shall be focused in the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, verse 18, wherein Paul said, "We are not looking for the things," you check the Greek out, "we're not looking for the things that are being seen." I know that runs counter to what is actually going on in the minds, and I'm only speaking about God's people this morning. Nothing that the world is embracing or focusing on is the subject matter this morning. Our concern is what God's people are focusing on. The things that are being seen. And here, the scriptures declare them all to be temporary. What does temporary mean?
Not long.
But at the unseen things, Paul in another place writes, "Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered upon the mind of men those things that God has prepared, not for men, but for those what? Those loving him."
Amen.
And then he personalizes it and he says, "But he has revealed them unto us."
Amen. Glory.
Personal pronoun.
Amen.
Who are we? Who is referenced to as us? Here we must acknowledge that all of God's people do not comprehend and have not this revelation.
Right.
And so here he's specifically speaking to the informed, the enlightened, the elucidated, those who God has called to realize the essence of who he is and what he is. And what things are really about. Here this morning, we're looking at this section on page 39, the capsule of time renders creation exclusively in eternity. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, of which I challenge the ministry to minister from. As he opens this verse, he speaks of all of the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Elder started reading from verse 3 down to verse 10, even though our focus would be on verse 10. Now, I said to you as he's reading, the subject matter here is not the things that you can see. If you go into this context looking for the seeing, you're going to be disappointed. And if you're looking for operas in time, until you get down to verse 10, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
If you're looking for the things that you as a human can resonate with, you're going to be disappointed.
Amen.
Here we into the eternal realm of God working in the essence of things that you cannot see, you cannot taste, you cannot touch, you cannot physically connect with. And I said to you this morning, this is the real deal. Because what is real is that which abides, that which remains, that which cannot be interrupted. Everybody got Ephesians 1 and 3, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ.
Okay, I tell you what, let's read for the Greek. We don't have a whole lot of time this morning. We want to be on target coming out of the gate. You know, here they're talking about places. And you see that, you see where that's italicized, right? Huh?
Yeah.
There's nothing physical. You started talking about places. Amen. You're into physicality.
Yeah.
Here we're purely into spirituality here.
Yeah.
All right. Those of you who don't have your Greek interlinear, follow along. All right? From the Greek.
Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the third verse, the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the one having blessed us.
Having blessed. Already. Having blessed. Oh my God. Evlogitos. Evlogisos. I should say. Evlogisos. Having blessed. Go ahead.
Having blessed us with every blessing spiritual.
Everybody says spiritual blessing.
Spiritual.
Where are they?
In the heavenlies in Christ.
In the heavenlies. And where are the heavenlies? In Christ. We're not talking about a place. Read.
As he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be us holy.
All right, again, that's Enoch. That is an infinity, but it is a present infinity. It is a present infinity. It is a present infinity. In other words, when God did it, he's speaking about the purpose of God in doing it at the point that he did it. And I'm using the word point, amen, because anthropomorphically, that's how we reference things, amen. But in eternity, amen, the purpose, the point and purpose was what? Us being what?
Holy and unblemished.
Uh-huh.
Before him.
Before him, period. Now we go to the next verse.
In love.
In love.
Predestinating us to adoption of
orisos.
To adoption of sons.
Ordaining us. Pro means what? Before. Orisos means what? To set boundaries. The before boundaries that God set. Before what? Before foundation of the world.
Right.
Here, we're into eternality. We haven't touched time yet. Read.
To adoption of sons through Jesus Christ.
Son position. All of these glorious truths. And these are not the things that are being told. And conveyed to God's people in the turbulent times that we're in.
Oh, how are you?
When the stock market is erratic.
Oh, how are
you? And when institutions are folding.
Right. Yeah.
When nations are quarreling.
Right. Yeah.
And on the brink of conflict.
Right. Right.
When homes are shaky.
Yeah.
And marriages are shaky.
Oh,
oh my God. And the essence of life around us is shaky. Amen. No, my God, what should be our focus this morning? On the things around us? No, in the heavens, in Christ Jesus. Oh my God. These glorious things that are going to show you up and hold you up. Those things that Paul knew that caused him to say, for me to live is Christ and for me to die is gain. Those glorious things that caused Paul to say, not only am I willing to suffer for him, I'm willing to die for him. Those things that caused Paul to say, these momentary light afflictions, oh my God, a flash. Oh my God. That cannot be compared with the gloriousness that shall be revealed in us. What are you talking about, Paul? What he's talking about here?
Yeah, man. Thank God.
You better hear me this morning. They're talking about the orders. Auto industry on the brink of bankruptcy. More and more the things that we depended upon. Pension funds, 401ks, IRAs, they're all shaky, very shaky. In this day and time, you need an anchor. Oh my God. You need something that you can stand on, a foundation that even if you shake, it's not shaking under you.
Amen.
You need something that you know is going to be there. And you know that you can't count on your job being there. You can't count on your pension fund being there. You can't count on your health being there. You can't count on your family being there. You can't, not that they might not want to be, but it won't be won't do it. It's a matter of can't do. You can't. Oh, why y'all don't hear me this morning? We need something that we can have confidence that no matter what comes about. And Paul writes that nothing shall separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. That's what we need this morning. No, we're not here to tell no one how to find ways how to do anything. How to get by in life. We don't have any new message this morning. Now we're moving from prosperity to hope. But then we still messed up because we're still hoping in the things that we can see, the things that are around us. Amen. Our hope is an eternal hope. For we're not saved by the things that are seen. Hope is not in the seen. Hope is in the unseen. Because if you see it, there's nothing to hope for. So we're rescued, we're delivered by the unseen. What you talking about? This was right here. And yet the ministry, yes. It's not ministering this. No. You know why? Because you can't fill the house with it.
Right.
And on, people can't, you know, they can't relate to it. Mm. It doesn't resonate with them. Mm. We're not supposed to preach what resonates with humanity. Paul wrote Timothy and he said these things. Preach these things. All right, read.
Amen. Jesus Christ chose us. I'm sorry. Where was that?
In love. Start over.
In love.
Mm-hmm.
In love. Predestinate us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Verse 6.
To the praise of the glory of the grace of him of which he favored us.
Say that again.
Of which he favored us.
He favored us. Everybody say he favored us. He favored us. Most don't understand the true difference and the real difference between the seen and the unseen in the aspect of blessing. And the difference between a physical blessing and a spiritual blessing and this context of Paul's focus and priority is the spiritual blessing. That's in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And so we are highly favored this morning. Even if your bills are behind, you're highly favored this morning. If your house is in foreclosure, you're favored this morning. If they have repossessed your automobile, you're favored this morning. If you've got utility turn-off notices, you're favored this morning. If you have trouble in your marriage this morning, you're favored this morning. Trouble in the home, you're favored this morning. Trouble all around you, you're favored this morning. For here, he's not talking about physicality. He's talking about eternality. You're favored this morning. He favored us where?
He favored us in the one having been loved.
In having been loved. You were loved before you got here. You were his before you got here.
Oh, glory. Thank God.
You always were his. You always will be his because you always were his. Verse 7.
In whom we have the redemption through the blood of
already
him.
Already we have redemption through the blood. What?
Of him. The forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of the grace of him.
According to his grace. grace. So one thing we should have in order is the comprehension of our salvation.
Yes. Oh, glory.
Of knowing who we are.
Yes.
And if we have that, then life cannot beat us down to the point where our joy and our eager expectations are suspect.
All right.
If we're focusing on the right thing.
Right thing. Glory. Mm-hmm.
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Which he made to abound to us.
Mm-hmm.
In all wisdom and intelligence.
But you see, you're not going to get this if you're sitting somewhere and they took you this morning to Exodus and you're wandering through the wilderness of Israel. And all you know is that every morning he drops down manna. And when the cloud moves, you move. And when the fire moves, you move. You don't know where you're going and why. Oh, my God. So you're just living from day to day. But, oh, God has given us more. Can you say more?
Lord. Thank God. Glory be to God.
Paul said on one occasion, he said, I've learned to be content. Whatever state I'm found, whatever is going down, because my joy is not based upon what's around me. And in life, I'm not looking around. Oh, my God, God has taken me to the vantage point of eternality so I can look down in essence of what's going on. Verse 9.
Making known to us the mystery of the will of him, according to the good pleasure of him, which he purposed in himself for a stewardship.
That's economy or a what? Dispensation.
Stewardship of the fullness of the times. To head up all things in Christ.
Where?
The things in the heavens and the things on the earth.
And on the earth.
In him.
In the heavens, on the earth. So here, as we look at verse 10, follow me here. I'm going to go into a little, and I'm not apologizing for this. Amen. We're going into a little exegesis here. You see that phrase, tu pneumatos, ton pteron. Tu pneumatos, ton pteron. Here we have what we call a double genitive. What is the genitive case? Ownership and possession. So we have the fullness of the completeness that belongs to the times. Now, the verses before this in context is the eternality in verse 10. He speaks of what God has done and then what he is doing in bringing us into the knowledge of it and the essence of where this arrives. The fullness of time. Again, let's go to the bottom of page 39. The capsule of time renders creation exclusively in eternity. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
First question that is asked, what is the time capsule? What is the time capsule? In the truest sense, Not what we call the time capsule, where we take our memos and we put them inside of a book, and sometimes they put them inside some type of vessel and put them somewhere and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. No, the whole gamut of the created entity called time. Follow us here as we read. The capsule of time is God's design mechanism strictly for the manifestation of testimony, encompassing all God's eternal workings of creation, which were actualized in his divine decree. Now, we have been taught erroneously, that time is some independent entity that dissects eternity. We were taught eternity past. And so now we're not in eternity now, we're in time, because it has interrupted eternity. And then when time is over, we move into eternity future. That is wrong. Eternity hasn't ever gone anywhere.
Nowhere.
Eternity is where God dwells. And as we shall see it, as we have been dealing with, it is actually the residence of creation. It is actually the residence of creation. Eternality is actually the residence of where things abide. Nothing actually abide in time. Everything that is has been will be abides in eternity.
Come on here.
Time in the capsule of time.
Yes.
Is for what?
Revelation, manifestation.
Manifestation only. Testimony. Yes. Testimony. Testimony only.
Yes.
Things don't abide in time. Nothing abides in time.
I hear you.
Oh, man.
One of the things we shall deal with in the conference is the aspect of mirrored earthly images. What you see is the testimony of something that abides not in the medium of time, but in God's decree in eternity.
Right. Come on here.
All right?
Oh,
as conveyed in the apportionments of past, present, and future, and you follow me here, in the human intellectual sense, it can be likened to multimedia memoirs of powerful biographical displays of all-encompassing snapshots. Basically, what? Of God's plan, will, and purpose. Some of it doesn't make sense to us. But just because it doesn't make sense to us doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. It just means it doesn't make sense to us. Yet none of the perceived proceedings should ever be construed as original enactments, for such were all actualized in God's divine decree. These are all merely manifestations for the sole purpose of documenting the revelations of creation to us, to created beings. This comprises, in effect, ultimate comprehension of God's wonderful accomplishments in eternity, as such as God has been pleased to reveal. In a personal sense, the time capsule, everybody say the time capsule.
The time capsule.
It chronicles sequential documentation of our lives and those closely associated with it, such as relatives, friends, and general acquaintances. Some depict powerful and compelling history, finite existence through the essence of introductions of chartered courses as we journey, and the impressions of the present while memorizing the past and anticipating the future. Mediums engender unfolding events that are all consummately logged in designations of memories. The time capsule enthralls impersonations of life as viewed from within the confined limitations of its sphere. It's an array of depictions embodied with operants of traditional habitations transferred from past to present to succeeding generations. I talked to the young people this morning. I was telling them, basically, you know, they're young now, and I said, I told them my age, and of course, I don't have my age, it's 65. And, you know, how once I was their age, and you know, that somewhere down the line, you shoot into the future, and of course, amen, you pick any year down to, a few decades, and I tell you where I'll be, where I've always been, amen, in the body of Christ, amen. But I won't be encapsulated in this body, amen. I don't think so, amen. But when I was saying to you, you're gonna grow up, and then you get married after you get a job, hopefully, and you do it in that order. And then you look around, your kids, you got kids, you know, your kids. And after a while, what happens? Those kids are grown. And then you stick around a little longer, you be like me, you got grandkids. And if you're privileged to stick around a little longer, you got great grands. But somewhere, the train stops or the ship docks, and you're out of here. And you mean to tell me this is where the happenings are? Is this what life really is about? Is this what your life really is about? Hear me this morning. This is why it's so hard for us to deal with physical death. Ain't no funny thing about that. And we all do it, and me too. We're grieving and carrying on. As though that one is gone and you're going to stay here.
I hear you. Bring it home.
And then when you go, somebody is grieving because you're gone as though they're going to stay here. When the truth is, no one is going to stay here. This time capsule shall dissolve. At some point, time will be no more.
I hear you. Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're destroyed. It only means that what you thought was the essence of life was never the essence of life. Your life is in Christ.
Glory.
Oh, give him a praise this morning.
I hear you. Thank God.
God's word is that. Let's look at this time capsule as to what it is. And then when God takes us out of here, there's no tragedy. Huh? When a ship is getting ready to sink and be destroyed and the passengers are taken off, it's called a rescue. It is a deliverance. It is a freeing and a release from that which is imminently going to vanish. But a problem is, listen to me this morning. We're putting our stock here. I know they're not preaching like this in the churches. We're putting our stock here. We're putting our hope here. We're putting our aspiration here. When time dissipates, everything within time dissipates. But the fact is, nothing is in there. It's an empty vessel. And all you're getting is mirrors of images for the sake of testimony. God hasn't placed you in time. He hasn't placed your salvation in time. He hasn't placed your future in time. He hasn't placed your hope in time. Oh my God. He hasn't placed anything in time. But these bodies. And what happens to these bodies is what happens to everything in time. When time, amen, is destroyed, everything in time bites the dust. So what happens is time, the cessation of time, is also the cessation of physicality. Yeah. Oh. All physicality. Oh, it's gone. It's gone. Mm-hmm. And this is what our gospel is trying to tell us. But we're not listening. And if we get this lesson, then things out there won't be running you crazy. Yeah. Our problem is we have these unrealistic expectations. Yeah. We do. Yeah. We have these unrealistic dreams. We have these unrealistic hopes. We have these unrealistic of expectations of things that we're counting on for our joy and our peace and our happiness. And I said to you this morning, it is all folly. Now when I'm conveying this message, someone always said, well, Pastor, what are you saying that what we're doing is not important? So we're saying, no. In this place, you got a job, go on there tomorrow and be on time. But just know that whatever is going on in that medium is temporary. We have to take this life serious, but don't take it too serious. If you lose something, you haven't really lost it because it was never yours in the first place. The only thing you take out of here is what you brought in. The only thing you brought in here was your salvation. And everything that's in here, amen, that you engage while you're here, at some point, amen, you're going to leave it here. I don't care what it is. So I lost my job. You're going to lose your job anyway. Lost my home. You're going to lose that home anyway. It's sad. Of course, I know those that don't have this knowledge, and that's the world as well as God's people. Yeah. Amen. They really have nothing. They think that I lost my job, and I lost my home, so I might as well end it. Suicide's up. Yes, they are. homicides are up.
Yes, they are.
Because we're looking at the things being seen. When if we followed the scriptures, we wouldn't look at the things being seen. Because we would know according to the scriptures that they are temporary. And then we wouldn't be shocked if they get away from us.
No.
Is your life over if you lose your house? Is your life over if you lose your job? Don't lose. Your life is not over. And so if you understand this, when you lose your house and you lose your job, you will also lose your mind. Now what we're tempted to teach is, as we've just read here, as God has outlaid things in eternality, it has created and placed all things in his decree. There's nothing going down there that God hasn't ordered.
Come on.
Who are you upset with? You upset with God? No, God didn't do it. Who did it? The devil? Please. Oh, he's happy to be the agitator. That's what he was created for. He's decreed. He's only doing what he's been decreed to do. But he doesn't control anything.
No.
He doesn't create anything.
No. Yeah.
He doesn't manufacture anything.
No.
He has no creative powers. He can't create things that are concrete. Neither can he create occurrences and events. Well, who did it? Did God do it? Well, it's manifestation of God's decree, and God's decree has purpose, and the purpose is an eternal purpose. And the intent is eternal intent. And because we don't understand it, we're shaky. I know we sing songs. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. You just sing.
Man,
brother called me from Africa this morning. I wasn't able to. I was teaching class when he called, you know, and talking to him. Those of us here in America, we wouldn't be able to take it. And yet, you know what? In some ways, we're more shaky than they are.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because we worry about losing the stuff.
We
ain't got no stuff. In some ways, it'd be better if we don't have no stuff. Then we won't have to be worried about losing it because we don't have to worry about it. No. Everybody said a time capsule. What we're trying to do is to bring this knowledge so we can look down instead of looking around. You in the capsule looking around for encouragement. And guess what? You're not going to get it. Everything you see basically is shaky. And you look around, you're depressed, you may see something make you even more depressed. Stop looking around! God help us to move into the eternal realm of the vantage point of God, where we can look down instead of around. Bird's eye view. And we see essence of life. is not as we thought. I see now I'm going to be on this a little while. So the time capsule enthralls impersonations of life, as we've said, as viewed from within the confined limitation of his sphere. An array of depictions is embodied with operants of traditional habitations transferred from past to present to succeeding generations. The results, are you with me here? The results are, for the most part, detailed, humanly perceived portraits, yet not entirely accurate, of experiences collected and sometimes preserved with the goal of better understanding the scope of what is displayed in a display, an exhibition, exhibitory. This isn't actually achievable in interactive containments of the timeline, which mostly is misconstrued by the fascination of so-called highlight key moments of life as it is viewed strictly by those experiencing such. What is not perceived by the overwhelming majority of those abiding in the capsule of time is that all the things that are unfolding are only reflections or manifestations of all that were actualized in God's decree in eternity. You know the example we had of the star that's so many light years away? And the nearest star to us is the what? The sun. Look out the window. You see the light? That light left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. You just seen it. Right, you take 93 million? Million miles away, and you divide that by 186,000 miles per second. That is the speed of what? That's the speed of light. Nothing can travel faster than the speed of light in the universe. So you get 8.5. Look out the window again. That's not the light from the sun. That's the light that left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. In the time capsule, what you're seeing is that which is in God's decree. Mm-hmm. You're seeing the reflection of what's in God's decree. Mm-hmm. So we spend much of our life stressing out about stuff that's already happened. Well, should I worry? You don't have to put it in overdrive. Amen. Amen. We worry. Worry about our bills. Worry about our health. Worry about our children. Worry about our future. Worry. If you look around and you don't see something that God, that whatever that thing is, that's the way that thing was designed. That's it. I look around, I see things I don't like. Right. Mm-hmm. Who am I going to argue with? Who are you going to complain to? You know, in the society we live into now, you know, everybody's suing. Who you gonna sue?
Hallelujah.
Whatever it is, it cannot manifest unless God has decreed it.
Right.
Oh.
And if God has decreed it, that's the only way it can manifest. You better know that. If you don't, life getting ready to run, you're crazy if it hasn't already. You're going to be a miserable something instead of being happy. Let me wind up this paragraph, and then we'll come back next week. I see now, but I don't know when. It's 10 parts of this thing, 344 pages. I don't know when I'm going to get through it. It could, you know, maybe it's not decreed for me to get through it. Huh? You know? Amen. Maybe the next fellow, that a lady that comes behind mm-hmm. will finish this up. It doesn't even matter.
Amen.
No use to jump into page 4 if you don't understand page 3. And in a way, that's not my worry, is it?
Huh?
That's not my call, and that's not my worry.
Amen.
Now look at this. Eternity, this is where I stopped this morning. It's not a topic that is viewed as abiding in the current sphere of existence. In fact, most theological doctrines have espoused the position that the sphere of time dissects eternity and renders such, as we've said, past and future, but not present. This is most unfortunate in that such cogitation avers a claim time as an independent and equal component of existence with eternity. This couldn't possibly be factual, since time is incipient, temporal, and terminal. Oh, yes, it is. Whereas eternity is neither of these, and even the very opposite of such limitations. Though all the conveniences of creation are currently elaborated in time, the scriptures declare the end of time, yet not the end of creation. From this, it can be gleaned that all that is truly captured and sourced as a component of time would of necessity come to fruition in its cessation. However, and this is where we end, all scriptures definitively declare the continuity of creation at the cessation of time. In effect, certify it as a component neither initialized nor actualized in time, but indeed where? In eternity. So the real deal is not here. What you think is going on is not here. Where are the people that lived in the 16th century? Are any of them still in the time capsule? 14th century. No, let's come this way. 17th century. 18th century. 19th century. In the 19th century? The 19th century would be 18-something. If you find somebody around here that's still in the capsule that lived in the 1800s, you let me know, okay? I think they said the oldest person is, what, 120-some years old? That would be, what's this? This is 2009. You go back to 1909, and you back up to 18, okay, all right, so... It would be the late 1880s or 90, huh? Right? Which would be the 19th century, right? You can't even go back to the middle of the 19th. Of the 19th century. Where are all those people? What do you mean? Are they destroyed? Are they destroyed?
Nope.
Do they exist?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, they exist. Where do they exist? They don't. Absolutely, they don't exist in the time capsule, do they?
Hallelujah. Oh, glory.
Do they?
No.
But they do exist, right?
Yes.
got the best deal.
Yes, indeed.
No, not in the sense that we're going to stay here. No. Thank God we can't stay here. But he said, which is translated since. Mm-hmm. Since this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed. What do you mean destroyed? I'm walking around in the body and see you. You getting this reflection. It's destroyed. You know, the light left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. If the sun exploded, it would take 8.5 minutes for us to know it.
Right. That's it. That's it. That's right. Have mercy.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
No. In God's decree, in eternity, he said, we have, uh-huh. Not we're going to have.
No.
We always talk about our glorified body in the sense of the future.
Right, right.
But the scripture doesn't.
No, it does not.
It said we have.
Yeah.
Present tense.
Mm-hmm.
You have right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. We have what?
Building of God. Yeah.
A building of God. What?
Not
fleshly. Mm-hmm. Not earthly.
Nope.
Where is it?
Eternal.
And when we go back to Ephesians, what we were reading from this morning, you were in the body of Christ before you were ever manifestedly encapsulated in these bodies. You're in the body of Christ right now. It doesn't matter because you don't see it. Remember, that light left the sun 8.5 minutes ago.
Oh.
The Lord tell everyone in here is going to die. Pastor, that's not a good one. It's
done.
Thank God it's done. We have a glorious inheritance in Christ. We are heirs of God. We are sons position. We have been given his nature. Just like him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, glory. Thank God.
From the beginning.
Ooh, Lord.
That was the beginning of your existence in him.
Oh,
our problem is we keep focusing in the time capsule in the earth.
Oh,
again. We'll take this up next week. Repeat after me. Prioritization of the eternal heavenliness
over the temporary earthly.
We'll take it up next week. God bless you.